Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios, Friday edition of the program, live from Super Bowl 54 Radio Row here in Miami, the final day of our sojourn on Radio Row. Still have two more days of television, however. We've done 4 days of Lock It In. We have the Friday show this afternoon, and then we got a special Saturday show on Big Fox. And joining me now, getting up early, is Todd Furman, at Todd Furman on Twitter. He's one of the people that is fortunate enough to be on television with me every single afternoon.
I'm not sure it's fortunate by any stretch of the imagination.
Good fortune on your behalf.
I'm just glad that we're about a little more than 48 hours away from kickoff. You're ultimately going to have to make a pick because last week you started on San Francisco.
I was on the 49ers.
The middle of this week you decided you were going to flip to Kansas City. So I want to see when it's time to put your money where your mouth is, where you're ultimately going to land. And I get a feeling the Clay Travis I know can't go lay his head on the pillow at night without backing the better quarterback. So I'm going to make Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City about $1.80 favorite. That'll ultimately be the side that you arrive on.
Indeed. My man Eddie George walking by right now. Need to get him on the mic here for a second. Jack Daniels you're doing work for. Oh, my man. How are you? It's good to see you. Here, talk to me about Jack Daniels for 30 seconds. How much time's he got? 3 minutes. All right, put on a headset. So we just had you on the Wins and Losses podcast, which people love. Did you see some of the feedback on that? People seem to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. Well, I didn't see a little bit of it. I'm not going to lie. But I did see some of the tweets behind it. Said, you know, they enjoyed the conversation, had a really good time with it, man. It was awesome.
Who do you think's going to win?
I think I like Kansas City.
Yeah.
Listen, after going out there, I saw them up close and personal in Kansas City. They're a different team than they were at the beginning of the year, defensively speaking. And it's just the confidence level for Mahomes playing from behind. He can play from 31 down, 17 down. And when he gets on top of you, it's over.
You're here with Jack Daniels, which I felt like I needed to drink a lot of after the Kansas City game against the Titans. Because I had – you'll appreciate this.
And hopefully you're doing it responsibly.
Yeah, doing it always responsibly. But you know I got three boys, and you know they're big Titan fans. You've met them. They got their picture taken with you. They play old school Madden sometimes, so they're very familiar with – but we were all set to have them in the Super Bowl. Like, I had the tickets lined up. I had the hotel room lined up. I know you did too.
Yep.
The question a lot of people have out there are – is this a flash in the pan Titans run, or do you think it's sustainable? Like, is this being back like when you guys were good, or is this something where it's not really going to replicate itself?
Well, here's the situation. I mean, now that they've had some success, and the expectation is, do they take a step forward or step back? They either take two steps forward or two steps back. They're at that critical stage right now because this team's going to look completely different than it was last year.
Yes.
A lot of guys are
contracts are up.
Are up, and that's the nature of the business. So your priority is sign Derrick Henry.
Yes.
Figure out your quarterback situation.
How highly paid do you think Derrick Henry should be?
Well, he's a unique back.
Yeah.
So he needs to get paid in a unique way.
Fashion.
Exactly.
So does that mean top two or three in the league in your
Absolutely.
Mind?
Absolutely. Top two or top one.
Yeah.
Because he's been that guy for the last – you can make the argument he's been the best back in the league going back to 2018 or 19. So, I mean, he needs to – he's the focal point of the offense.
Yes.
And given the history of running backs – looking at Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Melvin Gordon, they've all had been great success, but they've all fallen off in production the last couple of years. But that's different.
Yes. You know,
Derek is a different back where the offense runs through him.
He's the engine.
He's the engine. So I think they need to figure out in a creative way how he needs to be compensated in a great way, because you don't want that talent to walk out the door. These guys don't come a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
You know, 6'4", 250 pounds, running a 4'4". That's a unique set of skills.
Ryan Tannehill, anomaly of a season that he can't replicate, or do you give him big money?
I think that's a tough call. I think it has to be fair. I think they need to understand where they are, and whether it's a long-term deal or a short-term deal, and they can construct it in a way where it's incentivized.
Yes.
And it's a fair deal. I think he needs to be in Tennessee, and Tennessee needs him, and they need to grow with him to see a little bit more for a full season moving forward. And if he gets better, develops more chemistry with the receivers and that offense, I think Tennessee has a great chance to go.
I know you're running around here on Radio Row, Jack Daniels, great Tennessee company you're representing for Derrick Henry. I was a little bit surprised he didn't hold out because he's second-round pick. He hasn't really made that much money. He's obviously a workhorse of a back.
Hold out until this year?
I was surprised he didn't. Well, if they franchise him. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if he held out coming into this year.
Well, where'd the franchise get Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah.
I mean, right. You almost – okay, I'm not here to negotiate contracts, but if it gets down to that, those sticking points, I wouldn't want to lose the momentum.
Yeah.
Why? You know, take if you look at hindsight, you take the money then.
Yep.
You make that business decision for the year. You get paid that $14 million guaranteed.
Yes.
And then you say, okay, if it's not going to be Tennessee, somewhere else, I'll get the big payday. So you're not going to make that money up. So to sit out and get fines and all that nonsense, I don't think that strategy works.
He's also that's almost like going back in time because much like you, he's a good dude in the community and really well-liked, right?
Yeah.
And you've made Nashville your home since then.
Mm-hmm.
But that also factors in, I think. You know, when you decide how much money you're going to give to a guy,
mm-hmm.
that can make a difference, right? Like whether people enjoy what you're doing in the community and also how beloved you are. I think he's a big part of the Titans brand right now.
You got to think beyond the game of football. He's more valuable as a Titan than he would be as a Dolphin
or
a Jaguar or a Bolt or whatever that other team might be. So
you
want to build that goodwill up well after the game because this is not the most money you're ever going to make in your life. I don't believe in that thought process.
Yeah.
Well, I'm making millions of dollars. No, you can still do a lot more well after the game.
Yep. Amen, my man. Have a good time.
Hey,
Appreciate you swinging by. And by the way, go listen to that Wins and Losses with Eddie. It's fantastic about how he ended up doing what he did. It's really, really good. That's Eddie George, Jack Daniels. Never know who's going to be swinging by in Radio Row. He's a genuinely good dude. And there is a lot of overlap between what Derrick Henry did and is doing and what Eddie George did during the time that he was with the Titans. You see those guys as somewhat similar. It's Furman. You just got cut off there. You got big time.
It happens.
Heisman Trophy winner comes by.
I never won a Heisman Trophy. I never took one snap in the NFL. But one thing that Eddie said that, you know, not having played the game and not having been in the front office or doing anything along those lines, I'm a little bit of a different school of thought. I'm not sure in this day and age you can make the kind of investment in
a running
back like Derrick Henry, regardless of what he means and what kind of productivity he's able to put forth, because there's too many examples of guys that have fallen off the table. And Le'Veon Bell, I kind of throw out this season with the Jets. I don't think it was an indictment of who he is right now and what he's capable of doing. But Todd Gurley's the poster child. And you look at the cap situation that the Rams have created. When you build your offense around one player and that one player's longevity isn't there and you're paying him a king's ransom, in my opinion, in this day and age, there's one player on every roster that you give him whatever he wants if you feel he's truly a franchise-changing talent. It's not a running back. It's not a wide receiver. It's not a defensive end. It's the man under center, and the Seattle Seahawks are the perfect illustration of that.
So we had Emmitt Smith on the show yesterday, and he was saying, you know, we're talking about Ezekiel Elliott and how Ezekiel Elliott got paid and his value diminished. Is there any running back at all in your mind? Like, if you were the Titans and they're going to have to pay $12 or $13 million, let's say, to Derrick Henry, and that might be high. Who knows exactly? They could franchise him certainly for a year and avoid giving him a lot of long-term money. But what's your dollar figure where you'd be like, I wouldn't pay? I'd never give any running back over $8 million, or how would you break it down?
You know what? I think you have to look at the cap and where you are with the cap. So it's tough to say, hey, look, this is the number that I'm this is the number that I'm never going to go over. Because if it's a shorter term deal, I'm of the mindset when you look at, you know, NFL, I'll pay guys a lot more money for a short term deal, but I'm not going to give you that longevity. The idea that the Cowboys basically gave the franchise to Ezekiel Elliott, when you get towards that latter portion of his career, it's not quite akin to baseball, but look at Albert Pujols and what he's costing the Angels in the twilight of his career. Look at some of these long deals you're seeing in other sports. Pay him as much as you want for 2 years, get the most out of him, and as terrible as to say, because you look at some of these players more as commodities than anything else, buy low, and then once you've gotten everything out of them that you possibly can, it allows you to pivot and go in a different direction. Because for every example you have of a franchise-changing talent at the running back position, that you look at the San Francisco 49ers, and it's Raheem Mostert, who's played for six teams. It's Tevin Coleman, who Kyle Shanahan knew he wanted to bring over from Atlanta. Or it's Matt Breida. And I think oftentimes it's a lot more scheme-based than it is the individual talent that you're plugging and chugging at the running back position.
It's been less than 2 years since the Supreme Court effectively said individual states can make decisions on whether or not they allow sports gambling. Does it surprise you how quickly states have moved, many of them, to do it, and also surprise you maybe how quickly other states have not made that move?
We knew New Jersey was going to be the first domino to go.
They filed the lawsuit. They were the one in front of the Supreme Court.
And you look at the state of New Jersey, it has really become a massive display of success as far as the players concerned with the easy for me to say, voracious competition that's out there and how everybody is trying to get a piece of the pie and they want to get their clutches in there. But I think when you look at some of these other states, we've seen errors in a lot of their ways, whether it's Mississippi, who didn't approve a mobile component,
yep,
that you actually have to physically go into a location in a brick and mortar to place a sports bet. Or you look at a state like New York that continues to watch revenue move out of its state borders as a result of New Jersey being so aggressive in the space. And then you look at California, we'll see how that domino ultimately goes, the political competition that's there in the state of Illinois. I think all of these spots need to go, you know what, we're going to open the floodgates. It's mobile, it's brick and mortar, everything, you name it, and we're going to try and be able to take full advantage of this gambling gold rush.
Mike Pereira walking by now. One of the fun things
I'm going to get preempted again, aren't I? This is why I could never be a co-host with Clay Travis, because I get preempted by all the folks that have accomplished a lot more in their professional career than I ever will.
What I will just say is we spent years on the Fox lot getting to sit and watch games in the green room with Mike Pereira constantly coming by, and he is incredible in terms of being able to break down every possible game that is out there. Yeah, come on, hop in. I was just saying, first of all, it's great to see you, that Todd and I, starting when FS1 launched, have been able to sit in the green room with you a lot over the years and have you breaking down college football and NFL games and everything else. And you're by far the best. We're talking to Mike Pereira here, who just joined us. By far the best at what you do. But not only are you the best at what you do, you basically have created a cottage industry where now everybody has an officiating expert. And I got to be honest, none of them are as good as you are.
But, you know, I like have looked at this, and you're right. I was the first one with Fox, and now you got Blandino, Sterator, Perry. You got everybody, McCauley.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I've told everyone I've kind of created this niche for you. You know, isn't there like a 10%?
You should be collecting royalties. And
I mean,
how could I not?
You know, these guys are sitting back like fat cats now and probably all making more than me.
You know what? And I feel the same way, Mike. Any dollar that Clay makes from the gambling space, because
he knew nothing about
gambling until he came out to Vegas. I met him for the first time. And in typical Clay Travis fashion, he shakes his hand with his right and hands me an autographed copy of his book with his left. I'm going, hell of an introduction.
You may have not known anything about gambling, but, you know, when I first met Clay, I thought, oh, now I know why people have zippers on their pockets. I mean, you know, he had those things secured and locked. You thought he was traveling like a suitcase.
There's no doubt about it.
You know,
we're at Super Bowl a couple days away. When you watch the Super Bowl, it's funny, Greg Sankey, who's the commissioner of the SEC, and Mike Slive have a line that they both use. You tell him, like, you know, what are you expecting in the game? It's like, all I hope is there's no officiating controversy, right?
I think that this year it's even more critical. All they hope that they don't have an officiating controversy that really pertains to pass interference.
Yeah.
You know, because if they have a end of the game like the Saints and the Vikings with the Kyle Rudolph push-off,
yes,
if they have the end of Week 17 game, Seattle-San Francisco, Fred Warner holding a guy, and which had great ramifications, if they have a controversy like that with a rule that goes away,
right,
then to me it really tarnishes that game.
What in the world did they do, as you understand it, with the pass interference change to the rule? Because it seems like, and you probably can explain it better than anybody, it seems like officials basically said, hey, we don't want to have this responsibility and review, and so for the most part we're just not going to overturn anything.
But the thing is, the rule was set up to fail,
right?
I mean, because you can't have a rule in football, in any sport, where you say, and with replay.
Yes.
And you can't say, okay, look at, here's how we want it called on the field, but then here's how we're going to call it in replay and have two completely different standards.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So for Al Riveron to have to say to a coach, yeah, it's pass interference and it should have been called, but it's not big enough in replay for me to call it out of New York.
What?
Yeah. That's what? A tough standard, right?
That's like, hey, Al, guess what? When they passed this rule, they just threw you, like, under the semi-truck.
Yeah.
You know, because for him, and I feel so bad for him it's like, what do I do? Is it egregious enough? And that's why the rule, it was a bad rule when it was passed. You know, could they amend it? Maybe. But to me, the only way it could work, and I think to make it less a part of the game, is to say, okay, let it be reviewable in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter only, and the standard is the same. So it either is or it isn't. It doesn't have to be egregious, this great word that is out there that is so vague. It either is or it isn't. So the same standard on the field in replay. And then maybe it could work. But I still think that, you know, replay's gotten so far into judgment, and it is a judgment call that I just want to see it go totally away.
Last question for you. You're going to be calling the Super Bowl. You've done a bunch of them. When there's a controversial play or there isn't, are you rooting to be gone to, or would you prefer for there to be a game that's so perfectly officiated that you aren't ever called to?
I mean, listen, success for me would be if you don't hear from me.
At all.
Because I'm telling you, I mean, I officiated my first game when I was basically 21 years old, and I've been involved in officiating since then every day in some form. And these are still my guys. I mean, they're my friends, even though I made a lot of enemies when I was their boss. They're still my guys. And so to me, I would rather them be successful than me getting airtime. And then if I don't get airtime, then you think about the domino effect. If I don't get airtime, then Troy and Joe don't have to give up any of their airtime. And so it's good all around.
Amen. Well, I'm going to be watching like everybody else. Mike Pereira, I appreciate you swinging by. You're the best at what you do, and you made a lot of other people money, and they're not as good at what you do. I agree. You should get 10% of their salary. Thanks for it's good to see you, man.
You got it. Nice to see you.
That is Mike Pereira. Todd Furman, you just keep getting
I get preempted by guests that have accomplished a lot more professionally than I have, and I'm going to have to work that much harder to make sure that when folks come by, I go, hold on one sec, I'm going to finish my 5 minutes of fame, and then they can fill in admirably to try and begin to steal my thunder.
Maybe one day, as your profile rises in sports gambling and it gets more and more popular.
You're not getting 10% of my salary like Mike's trying to get of everybody else. If anything, you're going to owe me 10% of every dollar you make in the gambling space.
I got to tell you, I'm an incredible negotiator, so I do think that whatever we end up with, you probably deserve a part of it. Already had a bunch of guests swing by just in the last segment. Mike Pereira is going to be the rules analyst for Fox in the booth on Sunday alongside of Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. We all had Eddie George swing by, and Todd Furman got preempted twice, so he's still with us. He gets to also to work with me, as I said earlier.
I might tank the rest of my segment because there's a good chance I get preempted again, and I won't have a chance to share some of the best, most valuable gambling information I have readily available.
All right, so we've got our show every day, 4:33 Eastern, 3:30 Central, 2:30 Mountain, 1:30 Pacific for anyone out there who is interested in watching that. We'll be live down on the beach. I mean, our set is incredible.
Absolutely,
like for people who haven't
incredible.
Seen it, even if you've just seen a clip, like from my Twitter feed at Clay Travis or Todd Furman's at Todd Furman feed, I mean, it's four city blocks, multi-million-dollar set they build out just for this weekend. Let me say, by the way, this is the Geico Outkick Studios. The surest way to win this Valentine's is with roses from 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 24 multicolored roses for only $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for only $10 more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code OUTKICK. The set's incredible.
Oh, it's outstanding. I mean, there's no detail that was spared, whether we're talking about the Ferris wheel, whether we're talking about the various displays. And to have the chance to interact with all the Fox talent, since you and I aren't in L.A. with everybody all the time, we're not on the lot. So to be able to see Jason, to talk to Colin, we're not there for the morning guys other than we're passing them in the bar, but the other athletes that are there and everything else, you couldn't ask for a better experience. And for me, this being my first Super Bowl, having been a part of a studio show for the full week, I think it set the bar so high that I can only begin to imagine what it's going to be going forward. You're a little bit more of a veteran. You've seen it. How does Miami compare to some of the other Super Bowls you've been a part of?
Yeah, this is probably the 10th straight Super Bowl that I've been to. Now, when I say been to, I only went and watched one of those Super Bowls in person. Most of the time, I will fly out like what I'm doing here. I'm flying out on Sunday. But well, I think Miami is an incredible host.
At least you get to stay till Sunday. I mean, we do our props and lock special, or our lock it in prop special, I should call it, on Saturday. I think Cousin Sal and I are getting ushered to the airport. I get home to Vegas, you know, hopefully around midnight if I'm lucky, and it's boom, right back in the morning to try and do some stuff. So I will be comfortably seated on my couch with an adult beverage in hand. Hopefully the girlfriend decides to spend quality time with her family, and I can watch in peace and quiet when Kansas City and San Francisco kick off.
If the Titans ever make it, I'll go again, and I'll take my kids, and it might not happen in my lifetime, but I went to, like I said, the New York City Super Bowl, and it was fantastic. But in general, I would rather watch it on television because that's where almost all of my listeners are going to be watching it. And so I want to see what happens during the commercial breaks. I want to see what happens during the broadcast of the show in general, and kind of have a decent sense for what's going on. So let's go into the game itself. A lot of people living in states now where sports gambling is becoming legal more and more, if you were telling them one bet that you absolutely love coming into the Super Bowl, what is it?
It's actually a game I gave out on yesterday's show, Raheem Mostert for an anytime touchdown. You can find the price as low as minus $1.35 on FoxBet. I've seen some shops that are a little bit higher out there. But you look at this 49ers offense, and they're not going to abandon what's taken them to this point in the season. I know Tevin Coleman was the bell cow in the game against the Vikings, 22 carries, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. But you look at the way Mostert performed against the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship. 220 yards, 4 touchdowns. I'm not going to project him for that kind of statistical monster of a day, but if Tevin Coleman is limited and his over-under for carries is only 6.5, so we're not going to work under the assumption that he's going to have a full allotment. Matt Breida has kind of been in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. I think when San Francisco gets themselves in a goal-to-go situation, or even in the 20 or 25, Mostert has that kind of game-breaking speed that ultimately I think he gets into the end zone. And when you look at that price, it's actually a little bit discounted when you compare him to his counterpart for Kansas City and Damian Williams at minus $1.50.
Now, you like the Niners to win the game.
I do. I don't love the Niners. I was really bullish on them, and I know you busted my chops when I said the Niners are going to win by double digits.
Last week, that was what you thought.
The more I've dug into this game, I think it'll be significantly closer. I look at the San Francisco defense, and I think it's a little bit more vulnerable than I initially anticipated, but I am optimistic that the 49ers offense is going to have some success against Kansas City defensively, and it may not just have to be with a ground and pound attack. I think there's going to be shots that Jimmy Garoppolo can take, whether it's Deebo Samuel, whether it's Emmanuel Sanders, Kendrick Bourne, or George Kittle. These guys have the potential and the opportunity to make some of those big plays. And ultimately, I think San Francisco makes a play or two more, and the Niners win this game by a touchdown or so.
We're talking to Todd Furman, finishing off hour one right now of the show. By the way, we've got a loaded show coming for you down the pike here. Todd Furman with us right now. You just heard from Eddie George and from Mike Pereira during the last segment, but we've got Charles Davis, who usually joins us on Tuesday, voice of Madden, number two lead analyst for Fox College, Fox NFL. Terrell Davis, guy who knows a little bit about winning Super Bowl games. He took John Elway over the finish line, helped to get him there. Troy Polamalu, maybe the only man on Radio Row right now with better hair than me, as well as Dr. David Chow, to give you the latest on the health status of the Super Bowl, let you know maybe who you should be paying attention to in terms of whether they're going to be able to play or not. So that is all still to come.
One thing, you talk about this being a football show, and obviously Fox has a serious commitment and investment in the XFL. Do you see a scenario where XFL talk ultimately gets on your airwaves, or do you kind of use the inaugural season as a test run? You see if there's fan interest and then gradually get into it? Because we had a chance to talk to Joel Klatt earlier in the week, and he said flat out, I don't know what to expect. I think the league's going to be a lot of fun. I think the games are going to fly by because the goal of this league is to play things in under 3 hours. But some of the talent, we may know them from their college days, but not exactly household names.
No, it's a great question. I don't know the answer. I'll see whether the games are a high quality of product, whether we enjoy them.
Well, you watch Volunteers football every single Saturday during the fall, don't talk to me about high quality product, all right?
Amen.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
This is the final hour of what has been and will be 15 straight hours of radio, 5 days here in South Beach. Super Bowl 54, the 49ers getting set to take on the Chiefs, and we have got Charles Davis with us, who has been joining us on Tuesday all year long. He is live with us here on Radio Row at CFD22. You can find him there. It's good to see you in person again, my man.
Great to see you in person, Clay. Continued congratulations and success to you and everyone that's connected with you.
You've got your Madden pullover on here right now.
I keep forgetting I'm in Miami. I don't need all this extra, but
yeah,
I'm
well, it's a little bit
anyway.
Cold sometimes in the Radio Row, but it's funny to me still. I know I mentioned this several times, but my kids are obsessed with Madden, right? Like, they would play Madden, like, as much as their mom and I, and by mom and I mean their mom,
yes,
would allow them to do, right? And I'll play against them every now and then, and they just crush me, right? And I mean, it's embarrassing. Yeah, embarrassing how bad they can crush me, and they enjoy, you know, just kind of rubbing it in. But the voice. did you understand when you got to be the voice on Madden how big of a deal it was going to be? Or I know you know the game is big,
yeah,
but are you even surprised by – because the reason why I bring it up is when you do radio and people listen to you, sometimes I'll be standing in line, you know, like let's say I'm in a Wendy's or something.
Yes.
I'm like, give me a Frosty. And somebody will be like, oh, they can hear the voice.
I know that
they
voice.
They don't even necessarily know your face, but
right,
they just immediately turn around. Like, you can see their ears because this is such an audio medium, even though we put up videos and things like that. And I bet that happens to you all the time now, right? Like, where you're, like, just
yeah,
speaking. And people are like, oh, my God, dude, it's Madden.
Not trying to play the humble card, not as frequently maybe, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And so I totally get what you're saying. You're just having a normal conversation,
yeah,
with someone. All of a sudden you go, whoa.
Yeah.
Right. And that's when you keep getting that great reminder how fortunate you are,
yeah,
to be on something like,
yes,
that. And don't forget, you got to bring the boys.
Yeah.
To the studio.
I would kill to do that.
You know,
I mean,
when you have that opportunity,
yeah,
you know, it's open anytime.
Yeah,
you know,
no, they would be blown away. I would love to do that. I mean,
right?
it's literally their favorite thing. They're kind of the perfect ages right now. You know, 12 and 9. Oh, you had kids as well.
Yes.
Like, they're at that age where they think that dad and mom are still awesome.
Yeah, we're still
and
okay.
Not embarrassing.
No.
Not awful.
Not yet.
You know, like making bad decisions. It's going to happen soon.
Yeah,
but right now,
that's
kind
a tough
perfect
time frame.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been through it already.
Yeah, you know. Super Bowl coming up.
Yes.
Chiefs and 49ers. When you look at this game, what jumps out at you the most? Is it Mahomes versus the 49er defense? Is it the fact that people really, I think in general, don't expect a lot out of Jimmy G based on what's happened to 49ers?
Yeah.
Like, what to you thinks is, you know, 20 minutes after this game ends, the storyline that will, you know, be the main talking point will be what?
The things that got buried, but we should have seen.
Yes.
Meaning, yeah, we know the 49ers are great on defense, but they're averaging almost 30 points a game on offense,
right,
even though Jimmy G is not throwing out, you know, lighting it,
yes,
up. I think the flip side is if somehow Kansas City doesn't let San Francisco run all over them, and now we've got ourselves a game defensively, then we'll go, oh, yeah, that's right, the last 7-8 games of the season,
they've
played pretty well.
Pretty solid.
They've been pretty good. And, oh, yeah, Chris Jones is back fully healthy,
yes,
and that's a big difference. Those types of things will kick out of it. I also can't wait to watch the chess match of Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid and how they run their offenses,
right,
because both of them are cutting-edge guys. And will Kyle Shanahan say, you know something? You're going to throw 8 or 9 at me in the box right away. Hey, Jim, let's throw them out of it. And in the end of the first quarter, we look at each other and go, Jimmy Garoppolo is 13 of 15 throwing the ball already.
Yeah.
I hope something like that happens.
You've called a lot of games for Fox in the NFL. What has your experience been like with Andy Reid, who I think a lot of people, if you're just kind of a casual,
yeah,
NFL fan out there, I feel like a lot of people want him to finally, mm-hmm, win a Super Bowl. It's the last thing on his resume. He seems like just such like everybody's kind of uncle that everybody,
yeah,
likes, right? Like,
yeah.
I saw the other I saw the other day where he had an amazing quote talking about like the difference between being a parent and a grandparent, and he compared it to like sweet and sour pork or something like that. I mean, like, he's just amazing. What's he like? And do you agree with me that there's a large segment of people out there listening to us right now, and certainly a large segment of people who'll be watching that want him to finally win a Super Bowl?
I agree totally with that. He's wonderful. He's not the guy. He's not one of those people that you see in one image and then you get behind the scenes. And go, oh boy,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
really
he's
not
what
it.
What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. A very good person. And another reason I think people are excited about the possibility of him winning this and are rooting for him
yep.
is not just because he hasn't won one. That's an easy story.
Right.
It's he's one of us in terms of we've seen his life play out with
right.
some tough stuff on a national stage. Lost a child.
Yeah.
I mean, who among us wants anyone to experience it? No one does.
It's the worst fear of every
the
parent.
The worst of every parent, and battled through because we knew we followed the addictions, we followed the things, and then he lost it. His other son came out the other side. He's coaching for him.
Yeah.
Plus, how many of us love a grandparent that'll be bundled up in 6-degree weather and still wearing shorts? That's Andy Reid.
He is, and wears basically Hawaiian shirts everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. Shorts, you know, the whole thing. He'll be out in the practice. It'll be 10 degrees out.
Yes.
Everybody's bundled to the gills. He'll be bundled up top.
Yeah.
But it's party time. It's shorts down below.
It is amazing. and with that beard, he kind of looks like a – and the mustache, he kind of looks like a
but
walrus.
But he's a good
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing about it. He is a truly good man. And I think that's a big reason why. We've seen it play out. We've seen the whole thing. And you don't have anyone with the stories behind, oh, that Andy Reid, he may be giving you this, but he's
yeah.
no, he really is a good person.
Patrick Mahomes is poised to potentially go to unbelievable levels of fame if he is able to win this Super Bowl. He's going to probably be, regardless, the highest paid player
yeah.
in the history of the NFL. With all of that going on, all of that a swirl, all of that attention, he's played really well in the first two games in the playoffs. How do you think he'll play in this game? And how do you dial it back almost? Like, you're going to be so hyped at the start of this game, right?
Yes.
That you don't really need to do anything that you haven't already done. But that's got to be a balancing act just emotionally to be able to take the field and not allow the moment to be too big.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's a great point, and it's interesting because Andy Reid was on that Packers staff when Brett Favre got started.
Yeah.
And you know that great piece of NFL film we see when Mike Holmgren was the head coach and Brett comes to the sideline and Mike says, okay, no more rocket balls, please.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I'm all chinged up. I can't
yeah,
help
yeah.
it. That was
that's
what they
the
always
feeling,
had to do
right?
with Brett, right?
Yeah.
Can we did the same thing. Now, remember, with Brett, that first Super Bowl, he hit Andre Rison for the big shot
that's
early.
Right.
And everybody remember because
yes.
you know Mike was like, "Oh God, what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Is he going to throw it in the eighth row?"
Yeah,
he hits him early, and that's
they had control of the game.
Had
pretty
control.
Much at that point.
To me, Kansas City out of the gate, we've seen them slow out of the gate the last two times. A lot of it drops early, things of that nature. It might be the guys around him that you're more concerned about maybe than Patrick Mahomes.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this story, but I live in Nashville, and we talked about this, I think, last week when you were on, about the possibility of Tom Brady moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been some talk about the Titans because of Mike Vrabel. Yesterday, all of Nashville, and eventually moved into social media, there was a rumor that Tom Brady and Giselle had toured schools, right? Like, this is what happens now. With
and
with
you know
coaches.
How fast that takes off,
it
right?
It took off, and the school had to eventually issue a statement saying it wasn't true. But as we come up on these super celebrity quarterback free agency,
mm-hmm.
we're talking about, or guys who could be on the trading block, right? This is, to me,
yes.
this offseason. We got the Super Bowl going on Sunday, but the offseason at quarterback – you've got Drew Brees having to decide if he's going to retire or not. I know you did several Saints games. You've got Phillip Rivers, who has moved back
Florida.
Near,
they're in Florida near Alabama where
yeah,
he grew
he's
up.
On the Gulf Coast, is,
yes.
is my understanding, the panhandle of Florida.
Correct.
We just had – so he's back close, and he's got to decide what he's going to do. Tom Brady, who I just mentioned, has to decide what he's going to do. Cam, it seems like he's kind of on the trade block potentially.
There's no telling.
We've got Jameis Winston, who Tampa Bay has to make a decision on. Seems like Marcus Mariota is going to be moving on,
he'll
not to mention Joe Burrow, who I think is about to start working his way around Radio Row. He's in Miami. I saw him out last night. All of these things are moving around. What do you think is going to happen with all – I mean, it's going to be exciting for a lot of people out there to because the quarterback position can get so discombobulated mm-hmm. and reoriented in one off season. What do you think those guys end up doing? Like, do you think Breeze will retire? Do you think Brady will stay in New England? How would you assess the landing spots?
I know that the networks are coming at these guys,
yeah,
too.
So right. So they have off the field.
If they want to be broadcasters, and probably at a very high level right out of the gate, Tony Romo has kicked the door down for networks saying, if you come right off the field, you're going in at a high level.
How about, by the way, Romo, the talk is, and I know this is something you're rooting for. They're talking about him getting $14 million. Yeah. But don't you love that? Like, I mean, people always say, I root for everybody who's remotely connected to my industry to make as much money as possible, right?
Is there any trickle down?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want a rising tide to lift all boats. Because if somebody's making $14 million to do what you do, hey, I'll double what I do, and I'm still pretty cheap compared to him, right?
Can we be Don Finucci then?
Yeah,
can we just get a taste?
Yes,
can we just a little bit. Can we just dip our beak a little bit? All we want. Good for him. You know, more power to him. But I really think that Drew's going
to
play one more year.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it just feels like he's going to play one more year. Phillip Rivers is a little more problematic. I'm trying to find a home for him.
Yeah.
I'm searching. I'm struggling a little bit.
Do you think the Colts would be interested in him at all?
I just feel like they would be interested, but I also feel like they think Jacoby Brissett can play.
Right.
He was dinged up last year. I know Chris Ballard kind of threw it out.
Yes.
Hey, he hasn't arrived yet.
Right.
I think that was more of a challenge for Jacoby than it was an open invitation. We want another quarterback. That's just a feeling.
What about Tampa Bay? Do you think they potentially would –
Tampa Bay and Bruce would be – that would be the one.
I mean, he had some success, obviously, bringing in Carson Palmer and kind of making him the guy.
Those two speak each other's language.
Yeah,
even though they haven't been together.
Right.
Philip and Bruce seem like a great match.
Yeah.
So to me, that one would make a lot of sense. Marcus Mariota is going to be somewhere, but
you
I don't know the name is going to bring him in as a starter.
Yeah, that's the question, right?
Maybe the Chargers would make sense
if they draft a guy.
Maybe. I've said if he can't find a starting place, can he get to Seattle? I know that Russell doesn't get hurt and he doesn't miss time, but that fits so perfectly.
His system out there.
That system, that guy, being around Pete, I think that would be a great match for them.
What do you think Brady does? He put up an Instagram post, by the way, yesterday. Did you see all that attention?
The cryptic Instagram post.
I mean, come on.
Tom knew exactly what he was doing.
He knew what he's doing. And for people out there who didn't see this because you're not active on social media, it was Tom Brady, like, walking into a stadium, it's dark. Like, it doesn't mean anything, right? Like, and so everybody immediately says, like, tries to psychoanalyze.
Everybody's trying
image.
To figure out which stadium.
Yeah, right.
That's our stadium.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
coming
right.
to our place.
And so I told you about the frenzy that was in Nashville over the idea of Giselle and Tom, like, touring schools. And the school had to issue a statement saying, hey, this is a rumor. It's not true.
Yeah.
By the way, can you think of anything dumber than if you're trying to, like, keep it on the down? Like, does it really matter?
Tom Brady's going to go on a school tour?
Yeah.
No.
Or Giselle?
No.
And, by the way,
they have people for that.
And if you're going to move to a new market, private schools are pretty excited to get Tom Brady and Giselle's kid. I don't think you need to go, you know, like, you can, once you make the decision of whatever city you're going to go to, the private schools are ecstatic to provide whatever you need to give you an opportunity. So
you're
not going to
go in. Imagine that recruiting?
Yeah. You don't have to go in and go tour the school in advance.
The school will come to you.
Unless it's like, I always say, Charles, and I know you've seen this happen too, like when the coaching season happens.
Yes.
If the coach is really happy for it to be known that he's interviewing, he ain't taking the job.
No.
He wants everybody else to know that. Like, I remember Tennessee was interviewing Mike Gundy.
Yeah.
And they're like, Gundy picked him up at the airport. And I'm like, if he picked him up at the airport, he just wants everybody in that town to be like, oh, look. I mean,
he's here.
Yes, 100%.
And chances are he didn't get paid. That guy didn't pick him up at the airport.
Yeah.
Chances are that did not happen.
But
they always do those things.
But when the story gets out, you typically are not going to make the move, right? Like,
right.
If you're trying to. But what do you think he does?
I still keep feeling like he's going back to New England.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Because Josh McDaniels didn't get a job.
Yeah.
See, if Josh had been gone, but now the surroundings are familiar, they're going to bend over backwards, whether they'll admit it or not, to try and get him better help.
Yes.
Better guys out
wide.
And
he doesn't want his final throw to be an interception.
I just don't see that
at
all. I just don't see that at all. Now, others will make their play. And as you and I discussed, for anyone who thinks that small marketplaces – that can't work for Tom and Giselle. You just don't understand. And let's just use Nashville as a quick example.
Yeah.
You haven't been to Nashville.
First of all,
because if you go to Nashville, you'll realize that's not the case at all, because if you know people and you keep your eyes open, you bump into a celebrity about
everywhere.
Every 35 steps. So don't even play
well,
that game with
it's me. Funny, Belichick has a place.
Yeah. His dad was an assistant coach at Vanderbilt.
But it's funny, people say, oh, like Giselle would never be in Nashville.
I'm you want to bet?
You know who's in Nashville? Nicole Kidman, Miley Cyrus, Jessica Biel, just to name
just
some
keep
famous
going.
Women just off the top of the head, like right all right there. Justin Timberlake just moved. Like the number of super celebrity people in the Nashville area outside of L.A.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any city in America per capita that has more famous people than Nashville when you think about music and entertainers.
And
now.
It continues to grow.
Yeah.
Because people tell them, hey, man, you wouldn't believe how much fun I have here. I love living here.
TMZ is typically not on every street corner
no,
in Nashville right now.
It is fantastic. And you can go and you can hang, you can be, and all those things. And you're living and the people who are around, it's phenomenal.
Outstanding stuff. Who's your pick? Charles Davis. We're just at CFD22. Thank you for coming on all season, by the way, if you're on social media.
Sure.
It's been fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I've got San Francisco set 35-34.
So you think it's going to be a shootout, though?
I think it's going to be a heck of a good game. I've always leaned towards defense in these big matchups. When it's defense versus offense in a matchup,
right.
I lean towards defense, and most of the time it's come through. I think, what's the stat now? San Francisco's number one this year in pass defense.
Yes.
Versus the top pass offense. In Super Bowls, the defense is 9-4.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that that's right because Patrick Mahomes, he's like Lucy and Charlie Brown with all those statistics. And finally,
yeah.
Charlie Brown says, "Lucy, tell your statistics and shut up."
I can't wait.
Be that way with Patrick Mahomes.
I'm excited because I think literally anything can happen in this game, and
it's
it wouldn't
be a blast.
Surprise me. Yeah, it's going to be a great one.
Can't wait.
2 days on Fox. Charles Davis,
thanks,
thank
Clay.
You, my
man. So great for seeing it, for, to see you, and thanks for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for
all
coming
year.
On all year. You've been fantastic. That's Charles Davis at CFD22, the voice. Of Mad.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back, Geico Outkick Studios. Clay Travis here, Super Bowl 54, ready for the game to actually begin. 15th hour of Radio Row as we finish off the show here Friday. We got a big-time guest sitting beside me, Terrell Davis, who is a two-time Super Bowl champion. Back with the Denver Broncos. How much did your life change when you won that first Super Bowl? I don't know. I mean, did you feel different as a Super Bowl champion than you did beforehand?
Oh, yeah.
And in what way?
Yeah. Well, so when you – like that year I went to the Pro Bowl. And
yeah.
So when I went out to the Pro Bowl, it's a chance for you to kind of let people see you like – remember,
yeah.
The Pro Bowl was after
right.
the Super Bowl.
So a lot of guys would win the Super Bowl and still go out to Hawaii to celebrate. Yeah.
Yeah. So – and you would show up late, show up on a Wednesday because you just got a Super Bowl and they expect you to show up late. And it was almost like when you showed up, it was like, okay, look at us. Like the champs are here, right? So that was cool. And then just the whole thing about the history of Denver, right? They hadn't won a Super Bowl. They couldn't win the big game.
John Elway had lost
John Elway had lost it. And it's just – sort of the mission when you play this game is to win that one, is to win a championship. But now to say we finally accomplished that, and I did that in year three. It's good to get that one out the way. And I thought I was going to win six more. I really did. I thought I was going to win a ton of Super Bowls. It just feels good to put the work in, see how hard you work as a team to do it. It makes it more remarkable. It's more remarkable because – there's 53 other guys on the team, and everybody has to do their part for you to win that game.
What does it feel like to run on the field for the Super Bowl?
Man, I'm going to tell you, I try to stay calm. I thought that I can get past this whole Super Bowl thing and be like, all right, this is just a game. I'm cool. I got this. But when you run out on that field, it hits you like a ton of bricks. What's at stake? You see a ton of media. You see all the credentials on the sideline. You see,
100 million people are watching.
100 million, yeah. And then you realize what you're standing right in the middle of. And my heart started pounding. I'm like, all right, man, just calm down. So it tried to get me, but I was allowed to allow myself to kind of look at it as it's just a regular game because that's the only way that I could perform.
And does that first hit, does it kind of start to like the get back into the flow, or how long did it take you to just kind of
calm? It didn't take long for me at all. You know, I knew the first 15, I was getting 10 runs. It was 10 runs in the first 15.
Yeah, it was scripted plays already. What was coming.
So I knew it was coming. And the night before, before I went to bed, I kind of I knew that if we were going to win this game that I had to show up.
Did you have any trouble sleeping?
I actually didn't.
You're out.
I was out, man. And see, to me, that was a good sign.
Yeah,
I
knew you were prepared.
I was prepared, man. You know, I prepared for that. Everything I worked towards was geared for that moment. And so once you prepare, you know you're set.
Right.
Go out there and perform now.
What do you think happens in this game? You know, we were talking off air. It's like 15 hours we've done.
I know. We've done a
ready.
Lot.
Yeah.
And we're trying to cover this thing from a million different angles.
Yeah, and eventually you literally feel like you have talked about every angle possible on this game. Yeah. What do you expect to happen, Chiefs 49ers?
The expect part, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I guess from what we've seen, I think the Niners will come out and do what they've been doing. It's no secret. They like
yes.
to run. They love to run the football. They like to try to, you know, control that line of scrimmage, throw a lot of, you know, motions and shifts and kind of give you lots of different personnel to try to confuse you, confuse your eyes and what you're looking at, and then run the ball right down your throat. And obviously Kansas City, they're just lethal. Like,
yes.
you can stop them in the first quarter, as we've seen, but if eventually
they
might figure it out.
Yeah.
You hope they don't figure it out until the fourth quarter or at all.
Yeah.
But they're going to win their battle. So the game plan for me, if I'm Kyle Shanahan, is, all right, our strength is running the football. We're going to run the ball. Our defense is really good, but we got to take some chances. We got to dial some blitzes in. We just
yeah.
can't go straight four-man rush and do that. But it was an interesting stat I saw the other day that said that Patrick Mahomes has thrown 16 of his 17 interceptions in the last 2 years out of four-man rushes.
Yeah, dropping a lot of people back to defend.
In coverage. So
yeah.
that's got to be part of your game plan, is to be able to drop multiple people in coverage.
He hasn't turned the ball over yet in the postseason, and certainly
right.
if the 49ers are going to win, they're probably going to have to get one or two turnovers, you would
yeah.
think.
Yeah, and Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator, is really good at and that whole thing is eliminating big plays, right? You got to be able to condense that thing. They run a cover three, keep everything in front of you, make tackles. Tackle the game is what they say, so that once the ball is caught, make the tackle. Don't allow that little 5-yard crossing route turn into a 20-yard run. So that's what they have to do. And then you got to pick and choose when you blitz. You got to get home.
Does any part of you want to see Andy Reid win based on how long he's been pursuing this Super Bowl? Is that an intriguing subplot at all to you?
There's a few on both sides. Andy Reid is one of them.
Yes.
I mean, even Patrick Mahomes to me is like, man, I would love to see this young quarterback. Who
at, 24,
just, at 24
already get
old.
One. Yes.
I think he would be the youngest.
Up there with, I think, Russell Wilson, who
yeah.
was super young as
to
well.
Win,
when
he won an MVP last year. To
yeah.
win a Super Bowl this year would be incredible. So, yeah, I mean, you root for him. He's just a likable guy. You
yeah.
root for him.
I don't know anybody.
But then on the other side, I have a lot of interest over there. A lot of guys that I root for. Kyle Shanahan, Mike
yes.
Shanahan, my coach, son.
Yes.
Bobby Turner, the running backs coach. Coached me in Denver. So it's almost one of those games where you watch whoever loses or wins this, you're fine.
You can
with.
Be happy either
yeah,
way.
Yeah, you're cool with.
We're talking, well, who are you here with?
I am here. So migraines, this is like the stigma about migraines, right? People think migraines are just a normal headache.
Did you have migraines when you were playing?
I did. I had
migraines. When did they start for you?
9 years old.
So do you remember the first
I remember
one?
The
you
first
still have them now, like you've had them all your life.
I've had them my entire life, and that's just been a part of my life. And I found some ways. I'm just
to make them less common.
And really, yeah. what it is I'm here with Eli Lilly and Ravalve is the new drug right now. They have medication that they have, which is really good because they've been part of the innovative ways into find options for people who have migraines. And it's called Ravalve, and this one is really good because it's pain relief within 2 hours, and this is unheard of. Once you
yeah.
get and it really treats
for anybody who's ever had a migraine, it's brutal.
It's brutal. It is brutal. And again, these things are debilitating. So once you get one, it really just takes you out of your whole day. Like you can't do anything. Got to sit in a quiet, dark room. So you lose time at work. You lose time
yes.
with loved ones, birthday parties. Important engagements. No matter what you have to do, you lose time. Let me get some crazy things right here. So migraines are cause $56 billion. That's what it costs the American, the U.S.
Yeah,
economy.
That's crazy.
$56 billion with the B. It also is one where it's one in every five women who get it, one in every 10 men who gets migraine headaches. So they're prevalent, more prevalent than people think. And over 30 million American adults have migraine headaches. And it's the second leading disability in the world behind only heart disease.
Where will you watch the Super Bowl? Are you a kickback and watch, put your feet up at home? I know you're in Miami right
now. I will
right
be
now.
In studio.
Yes.
For this Super Bowl because I'm working. NFL Network, by
yes.
the way. check me out. We're doing a halftime show and then the postgame show.
Nice. Well, that'll be a lot of fun. And your final pick, what do you anticipate? Like, if you had to go right now to the window and buy a ticket?
I'm leaning Niners here. I'm leaning Niners.
Is that
Niners.
Based on just the overall quality of the team? Like, the defense and everything?
Yeah.
You're not worried about Jimmy G being able to turn it up and throw for yardage if he needs to?
I've seen that before. He did it in New Orleans. He went toe-to-toe with Drew Brees. So, no, I think if Jimmy has to throw it, they'll throw the ball. They prefer not to. They prefer to keep his temps, I think, in the low 20s, maybe lower than that.
Yeah.
If anywhere between 8 and 20 would be a good stat line for Jimmy G. I think the Niners win this. Because I've seen in the past teams who have had that good front. We're talking about the Giants when they played the Patriots
back
2007.
Yeah.
They tend to win that game. So,
what do you think about Nick Bosa? You think he can get to – so I like Nick Bosa 35-1 to potentially win a Super Bowl MVP. 35-1 is a big payout. In much the same way you're talking about old – remember when Cam got basically dominated?
Yeah, that with Von Miller.
Von Miller got it, 20-1.
Yeah.
Is that – you like the Nick Bosa angle there? Do you think he's going to have a big game?
Absolutely. I mean, they have – and it could be him. It could be D Ford. It could be
– Yeah,
you know,
they got
Aaron Armstead.
Yes.
It could be DeForest Buckner. I mean, they have so many good guys. It could be Fred Warner.
Yeah.
I mean, Kawhi Alexander. It could be Richard Sherman. Their defense, and they just play well as a unit, and they just they're coached very well.
Yeah.
And what they are. But let me just say one more thing before we go. So, Ray Valve, to find out more about this, because people out there, I know people are looking for treatment options, go to rayvalve.com, R-E-Y-V-O-W.com, or go see your doctor.
Yep.
Because I understand a guy who has migraines, one of the frustrating things about it is not having options.
Right.
And proper treatments for your migraines. So,
outstanding stuff. Appreciate the time, my man. We'll watch on NFL Network this weekend.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Final guest of Super Bowl week, and he's a good one, Troy Polamalu. And you were just telling me you've never come and walked through Radio Row like this before.
I have not. It's pretty awesome to see all the radio stations set up, as well as all these celebrities walking around. It's pretty awesome.
So you played in the Super Bowl. You know that feeling. What did it feel like? I was just talking to Terrell Davis about this, to run out onto the field.
It's a very special feeling.
Did it feel different than a normal game? Like, it's got to be an amazing feeling.
Some did, some didn't, to be honest with you. And Detroit, it felt like just like another home game.
Yeah.
Dallas definitely felt like foreign territory. That's
right.
Probably why we lost. But almost every game has its own unique identity, but Super Bowls for sure stand out.
You're a Pittsburgh Steeler, obviously, a Pittsburgh Steeler legend. What is it about being a Steeler that you guys have? It feels like a different legacy than other teams in the NFL. Did you kind of experience that immediately upon being drafted, or what do you guys do so well?
I felt when I was drafted to Pittsburgh a tremendous burden to carry on a legacy. And that legacy was definitely passed down through the locker room.
The culture mattered.
Absolutely. The culture was the center of that organization. And that being player-based of, you know, Joe Green and Jack Lambert. But then you also knew that these guys didn't take crap from anybody.
Yeah.
So it was not only that we had to develop or continue that winning lifestyle or the winning culture, but also that we had to have a don't take no crap culture as well. So I think that we did a great job of doing that. You know, we had our sort of enforcers, that James Harrison. And who really carried on that kind of like, don't mess with me. I'm, you know, and Ike Taylor, Ryan Clark, and a lot of Chris Hope, a lot of great, defenders from Joey Porter that really carried on that legacy.
What about coaching? Obviously, there haven't been very many coaches with the Pittsburgh Steelers. What was that like?
Well, I honestly, Coach LeBeau is
just a legend, right?
Absolutely. He's a true legend of this game. Somebody who was part of the game, I think, longer than anybody's ever been part of this game outside of the ownership.
Yes.
Who's coached at every single level and has probably influenced more lives and players in this game than anybody. But I meant being able to play for him is really a once-in-a-lifetime experience and opportunity that I'll cherish forever.
How much of a base of knowledge does. I mean, he literally can't put anything in front of him that he hasn't seen before, but then he has the ability to communicate it to guys who are sometimes 60 years younger almost.
Absolutely. You know, he really is like Coach Dad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what's great about it is when you have that sort of wisdom and when you have that sort of knowledge and that sort of personality, it supersedes the times.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes classic, and I think that's what makes him a Hall of Fame player and coach, is that when you can put players in any generation, you can put any coach in any generation, they're able to reach anybody. That's what makes him special and unique.
Antonio Brown, obviously, they've had a lot of issues with him. And the locker room in Pittsburgh, it seemed like they tried to get him to buy in and it didn't work. I'm sure this happened to you sometimes too. How frustrating is it as a guy who was trying to set that culture and that leadership to have guys who, for whatever reason, just can't quite buy in? And how do you try and make that happen so that no one player is bigger than the culture of an organization, if that makes sense?
Yeah. Well, I think it's definitely a gray area, because you don't want to, you want to have players be able to express the best form of themselves within confinements, you know. You know, talking about Antonio, I was, you know, one of the leaders on the team at the time that he was with the team, and I definitely feel a tremendous burden now, you know.
Have you reached out to him at all?
Everybody's tried to really reach out to him.
Because you see some of the videos and everything else, or the viral postings, and and he's not being the best version of himself. So what have you tried to do?
Well, you know, as a teammate to him, you know, I definitely try to be a better brother than him. And honestly, I feel a responsibility for the way he's behaved, you know, recently, not being able to reach him, you know, while I was a teammate with him. Our locker room is very close. We definitely have a very close brotherhood from the previous players that that I was teammates with, and we've all done our best to try to reach out to him. But, you know, he's lived a very, very, very tough life. And he, you know, like many football players, and he's also can't trust anybody. So it's really hard for him, for people in his position, to really find help when anybody's either, you know, wanted something for him, needed something from him. And you see that with a lot of young players these days that are kind of under this predicament of, man, like, who really wants what's best for me, or who wants what's best out of me?
Yeah.
And I think he's one of these examples.
We're talking to Troy Polamalu. Your sort of voice and your persona is very mild-mannered. You were ferocious on the football field. Where does that change come from? Where does that ferocity come from for you?
Honestly, I'm just passionate. I was a passionate football player. I love to play. You know, unfortunately, I guess you got to tackle people, and sometimes you got to, you know, hustle and do these sort of things. I would approach ballet in the same way, and grace and beauty of whatever the sport required. Or pool table, whatever it is. Football just happens to be a violent sport. If I was an MMA fighter, you know, wouldn't be like I would be, you know, taking pillows out there either.
What do you expect to happen in the game between the 49ers and we've been talking about it all week here, the Chiefs?
So I could talk to you about youth soccer, youth basketball.
Are you coaching your kids?
I'm not coaching. I'm definitely watching a lot of their games and practices and whatnot. When I filmed the commercial with Patrick last summer,
yes,
I definitely felt.
What's he like?
He's an awesome person, really, really amazing individual, and a very special person. And you can tell that he's going to do something really special. Definitely had a feeling that one day he'll win multiple Super Bowls.
Right.
It's really awesome that he has this opportunity in only his second or third year to you know, win one after his MVP season. So definitely rooting for him to win, and John Lynch is also a friend of mine, and I think what he's done for the San Francisco 49ers developing that team culture is something any football player can admire. You know, Patrick's a great talent, And then, you know, you have this a great team culture for the 49ers against each other.
You mentioned that you'd worked with Patrick Mahomes, Head & Shoulders commercial. You're here for Head & Shoulders. Mm-hmm. Your hair was a famous part of your overall brand. How's the hair holding up, and how's Head & Shoulders helped?
It's absolutely been holding up really well, thank God.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble if you started to go bald, right? That's a big hit to the wallet.
It's like he can only do radio call-in interviews from now on. With Patrick, it's always the old argument, offense wins games, defense wins championships. Yeah. I know that our defense didn't perform well in the Super Bowl that we lost, and we performed pretty well in the two that we won. But Patrick will be able to prove to us on Sunday that offense can win championships.
Outstanding stuff, my man. I know you got a busy schedule. Thanks for closing out the week
Thank you, and good luck going forward. Thank you very much.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.